Place to start. Any other discussion?
I was gonna make a motion to adopt the current revised April 10th, 2017 version with the minor changes discussed.
Second.
Been moved in second. Any discussion on the motion?
Who seconded that?
Prusaka.
Prusaka. No discussion. Full vote, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prusaka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, discussion and possible action regarding the water treatment plant improvements.
Is it possible, Mr. Mayor, for us to get a verbal update from our operations manager from
Amber?
Amber, Ms. Haddad, regarding how things went, and just if we can maybe have any questions at that point, would that be appropriate?
I think it would.
Good evening, Amber Haddad, 1.2 miles along the highway. So since we last met on Thursday, we have moved forward with CRW Engineering, who's working with us on the filters as an option to replace the rough filter process. In discussion with them, I asked them for a recommendation on which direction we should go, just on a clarification with their expert opinion. And they, while there are some additional complexities with the automatic self-cleaning filters, they agree that that is the direction that we should be going. Number one, the performance measure that we'll gain with that system, as well as the actual cost to install that. So I have asked them, yes.
Sorry, do you have any kind of estimate on the performance gain you get?
I don't have any scientific documentation on that yet.
Did the experts have any range idea?
Well, part of their analysis was, number one, to compare the automatic cleaning filters with those cartridge filters. And they agree that the cartridge filters would probably be a very good idea also, probably equal to the backwash filters, the self-cleaning backwash filters, but they come at a higher cost. As far as performance fees, they're known to be well-performing in the industry. I just don't have that engineering data for you right now. I can gather that for you. They're still working through that and working with the manufacturers. We're also going to have some of the sampling information from our water to be able to do an analysis of that. So we're waiting on the sample kits to be able to take those samples and send them off and give us more information.
So follow up on that, I'm just curious if you've discussed at all replacing the roughing filter, which is sort of the first stage, but still having dirty sand, will it still speed up the overall system, or will that there still be that sort of bottleneck of the dirty sand?
By replacing the existing roughing filters with one of these systems, we will reduce the particles that are moving to the sand filters. So that's the whole purpose. In Carol's memo to you, she identified that is really one of the more critical steps before it gets to the sand. Is removing those large particles. So it's very important. That stage is very important to upgrade, as I described last week. It will remove the majority of particles and take a lot of pressure off of the sand process. Does that answer your question?
Somewhat. I mean, I know you don't probably have an exact answer, so I'm just trying to wrap my head around guessing that what's our best option. Sorry.
Yeah, and you know, the engineers are the ones who, they design these systems, they understand the regulations as far as what our quality of water needs to be at the end of the production. And I'm relying on them to kind of flush out that information for us.
Really quickly, Amber, has the engineers been able to point to another community with similar organics in their water that utilize the automatic flushing filters and the success of that?
Not the automatic flushing filters necessarily.
actually presented those to us for review. But based on the cost, we've come up with this alternative type of filter that they feel like it will perform as equally as these cartridge filters at a lower cost.
My only fear is that we wind up in a similar situation with plugging due to the organic content, that we can't keep them flush clean enough, and we actually decrease the volume coming out of our rough and filter system into our sand filters. That's my fear, is that we can't keep up. With the cartridge, it gets dirty, you pull it out, you put in a new one, and you're back in business. And with the back flush system, I'm just terrified that we would somehow wind up in a similar circumstance where we wind up plugging in decreasing efficiency.
I hear you, and we'll try to address that through our review.
Thank you.
I've had some experience with cartridge filters, as I lived off that grid for about 10 years. And the cartridge filters are only as good as the water is. So if you have dirty water coming through, they plug instantly. And you could be in more trouble if that filter is plugging faster than you would if you had some kind of self-flushing. In the springtime of the year, I would be changing cartridges in my system at least once a week.
And that was one of the concerns from the engineers that, again, we don't have the particle count yet to kind of do an analysis on that, but they referenced another community in Alaska who had used these as an interim process, and their water was similar to ours, maybe a little bit dirtier, if they recall correctly, and they were changing them at an extraordinary rate. And just felt that might not be an O&M cost-effective option for us.
No, I get it. I just want to make sure it works.
Sure.
What happens to the water that's used for backflush?
The water gets wasted, and that's another benefit to these automatic self-cleaning filters, is that they waste much less water during the backwash process.
So the backwash wastes less water.
So that's where we are with the rough and filter process. The other thing that we've been working on since last Thursday is the sand cleaning operations that we've been testing. The report from Carol indicated that the dredging option did not work well. There were a lot of challenges just as far as how to manage the system, the assembly that we put together. The amount of water that we used was exorbitant. And just working in that system wasn't well. The guys were having their waste in the water and couldn't see the sand that they were trying to move in. Once the sand was dispersed, we took a sample of that with the old sand. There was not much difference in the color of the sand that we used. At the same time, we tried, Steve, you mentioned last week, the kind of scouring or plunging with high pressure. We had a wand made up to attempt to scour the sand with that process. Much more manageable. We were utilizing the fire trucks, pumper truck, and trying a couple of different options. One, just water for the flow, and then we introduced air. Actually, we did air alone, and then we also introduced air into the water, and we found that it was very manageable, especially as far as water conservation, by introducing the air to the water, because it reduced the water flow that was required, and it was an easy process. It was easy to handle. We could see as we worked, and in the end, too, sampling that sand that was just scoured with the old sand, much different color, much lighter color. There is a problem with that. One of our biggest problems with this whole thing is how to get that water that we just kind of released all these particles into moving out of the filter. There's not a lot of current or flow in the filter. What they do now, even when they use the ATV with the harrowing disc, is they run this through, it churns everything up, and then they have to just go through and kind of walk through the sand filter to kind of push that water out.
Would a series of trash pumps not facilitate some of that? That if you had, say, 4-inch hoses going over to various trash pumps. I know what we can do to a boat with a bunch of trash pumps and how quickly we can move stuff out. And if you're able even to, I know that you've got the sand, and I don't know how quickly the sand dissipates and leaves you just with the brackish water or whatever's left, I don't know what you call it. But I'm just wondering about a series of trash pumps. Get them pumping and, you know.
Yeah, the sand is it's suspended for some time, actually, and, you know, one of the concerns is as it starts to settle, you know, the particles are settling with it as well, mm-hmm. obviously.
But it would only be settling at the surface now, correct? Because you're not drying off your matrix.
Yeah, but we're trying to figure out a way to create more of a current, if you will, or pull that away and towards the drain. These are some of the challenges still we're trying to figure out, but thank you for the suggestion.
It was a good idea, the trash pump things, but the fire department used to also have what we'd float into to draw salt water off. It was surface only. We had pumps like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was what is it most of the stuff on the surface? Or is it something that you're trying to draw, you know, make a current go across the surface to go out to this other part of it? And also, if that's true, mm-hmm. then those pumps that the heat, and rather a trash pump, it's a surface pump, will draw off of it. And I just wonder if that would help out.
You know, it's such a large area. We'll have to explore that, and we will. Such a large area that I don't know how that would work.
I didn't know if it would help, you know, if you could channel that, you know, turn that thing some way and make it, you know, make it like a river, you know, flow
right.
into that pump. Just an idea.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
So after you completed the spiking, I would imagine that was in a relatively isolated area. So you just did one spike.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a possibility of creating manufacturing with one of our local manufacturing, a harrowing spike that they drove but also kicked up? So as they're driving, the spikes would also be injecting air and water? Because I think if you could do that, you would cut your time. And even if you did it where you did two passes mm-hmm. on the harrowing, and then my vision is that you have one pump or bringing fresh in on the opposite end and whatever pump you want on the other side, as long as it's got the volume, that you can start to create a flow and flush out the other side.
Right.
Just a
and
thought.
That's the way the water flows now. It actually comes into the filter on the far end. From the door.
Oh, perfect. So you just turn the valve and you're good to go.
Right. So you throttle it back, you know, you get it, but you have to keep it at a level that you can work in it, right?
Right.
So you've always got this constant water flowing in. You've got to maintain a certain level and then be able to, you know, move everything out towards the drain end. But these are the things we're trying to...
Just a thought. Just
Yeah. Just trying to figure out, how do you create more current? Just get that water...
Amber, they make a wash rake for concrete, and this is it's like a 6-foot rake. It's got holes about every half inch apart, and that's what they wash the grout to get an exposed finish. And you simply just take the rake, and it pulls all of the excess material back with you as you walk.
Is it a solid rake of sorts, or is it?
No, this is a hydrolite rake, so it's injecting water. It's using water to rake with.
Oh, okay.
So basically, you just set a man there and stand, and you could use one of those rakes mm-hmm. and pull that material back if it's coming up
mm-hmm.
and rake it back towards right. the end you want to go
yeah,
in. And I suspect you could make a bigger one than what they
use. We used the term squeegee the other day, you know, some kind of squeegee effect so you could, you know, draw that water with the suspended.
This was just injecting water, you know, 100 little lines of water.
I'll have to look at that too. So as it's pulling though, as you're dragging it in the sand?
Yeah, what happens on concrete, you put it down on wet concrete, you wash back and it washes the surface of the concrete and pushes all that back towards you and then leaves the aggregate exposed.
Mm-hmm.
It looks, I'm just looking at a video of it right now, it looks like a fairly small
purpose-built
thing, but I think
build.
The principle is right. That's exactly the principle I'm thinking about.
So, I mean, it's something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Can we step back just a little bit? Don't we have some engineers on contract? Are they here physically?
No, they have been here. They're not here now.
And why aren't we? This is a great body of people, and I think that we all have some grand ideas, but this body is kind of for policy and making those kind of decisions and not making engineering decisions. And I'm a little bit uncomfortable, you know, trying to engineer these designs when we have contracted with engineers to do that sort of thing. And why aren't we utilizing them a little more, even if it costs a little more right now, to get the right thing to do?
Well, we are using them. The dredging came from, that was their plan.
And
it didn't work, so go with my plan. And I have no charge.
There were some things that were considered, and now we have gone back to them and said, well, your challenge is help us work through these. And we're kind of on our own right now because the certain engineer hasn't been able to come up with something else. What they would say is you probably need to replace your sand. Other than doing some kind of dredging or figuring out something else. But
we do ask them to give us a cost-saving type of thing. We're not just going to the sand manufacturers and saying, we have this problem, help us work through it. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Yeah, it's an unprecedented case. And we just haven't been able to find anyone who has experience doing what we're trying to do, what we're doing.
Amber, I have a question. In my research, and I brought this to Carol today, I found one well we have drilled on the island over in the Evergreen Trailer Park. And that was drilled by Dick Stoll 30 years ago. That well is 700 feet deep. It furnished all of the water for the trailer park. And they didn't go off of that well until the city put the water line in and actually forced them to go off of it. But at that time, they run the submergical pump down that. They had a holding tank. That well was never drawn down, and they could never pull any water that was significantly that ever drew the well down with a 2-inch pump. Now, Bloom still owns that now. And what my question is if we get his permission, could we, and do you have a bigger pump that we could go flow test that well?
I'd have to see what the capacities of our pumps are.
We would need something big enough that we could flow that for 3 or 4 days and see where the static level went.
Right.
But that well is there. We don't have to guess on drilling. We can flow it for 3 or 4 days. We can see what the flow is. We can test the water. If that tests good, and if the flow is sufficient, maybe we could move forward on either buying that or drilling another well. Carol indicated to me that we have the land right behind that, in that same vicinity. But instead of drilling a well and just shooting in the dark, this could be the test well to tell us whether there's enough water and enough capacity to do it. I called down south and asked some of my oil field friends, what would it cost to drill an 800-foot well? Down south, the cost of that well to drill and case would be about $50,000. All right, so we live in Southeast Alaska, let's double it. $100,000. Now that doesn't cover the cost of plumbing and housing and pumps and whatever purification, but from what I understand, the well water takes very little purification, if any. So I think this is a good avenue for us to test. I think it'd cost us very little if we could go do the flow test and get some water samples.
Who did you speak to about the well initially?
I talked to James Stoll, his
James
dad drilled.
Okay.
Yes. And he was around when it was drilled.
Okay.
So the information I got was from the people that drilled it.
It's something that we can look into, and we can use the engineers to talk to them about our pumps. I mean, I think this is something new to us, and we've got to figure out what we can do.
Sure, and so I realize we'll that, but I'm throwing this out there. Yeah. We're spending a lot of money. We're talking a fortune on sand, $200,000 on a scrubber. So if it costs us $4,000 or $5,000 to go flow test this thing, I think that would be the cheapest money for us to spend to know if this is a possibility. Okay. We have to eliminate and figure out whether this is even going to work.
I don't see it replacing our existing.
No, and I don't either. Yeah. But it could very well supplement it. So if you had a well like that, and in the peak season or any other time you could supplement into the system, it could well get us over the hump until the new system's built.
Well, we still have the problem with the filtration.
Well, I think we still need the scrubbers, but I think we could clean the sand. We could get by with it until our new plant's in place.
I'm just curious as to how we, it's not electricity, it's got to be purified before it's put into our system, otherwise we have a totally contaminated system. So I don't know if you're talking about a well, but the well's below our reservoir, so unless we pumped it up to the top and run it through our system.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think you can get the purification, and you can put a medication or purification facility for well water, which I think would be very minimal. This is something you're going to have to ask your engineers.
Yeah, and there's EPA and DEC regulations and sure. lots of water, drinking water quality standards that we have to meet. So that's kind of a whole new project to undertake, but happy to look at that if that's the direction of the civil.
I'm concerned that I want to make sure that we're, I worry, I don't want to wind up so diffuse looking at so many options that we lose sight of getting through this summer. And as I read through everything, I'm pleased that we're punching forward the way we're punching forward, and I'm not sold on new sand either. But I would sure like to see us, I think two things. One is that we stay up on these filters immediately. They are cleaned religiously. My guess is that we shouldn't even be waiting for sometimes for them to slow down. We should be trying to catch up on getting some of that gunk, because what was brought in here the other day in those beakers was not pretty. So if we, you know, that, and I think we fell behind on our cleaning last year was part of our problem. Our system got backed up early on is my takeaway, but I like the idea of heading the organics off at the pass so we don't have that stuff flowing into our filters, and coming up with a system that allows us to clean those more efficiently, more effectively, and deeper is crucial. If we can get that those things down there, because otherwise we're only gaining efficiency in those first, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's in the first 8 inches of sand currently, if that, that we're actually cleaning, and we have another 3 feet of sand and then an aggregate below that that is gummed up, and the water has to take so long to get through to the lattice to be evacuated from the filter, correct? So right now we're just scratching the surface of these filters, and they just keep loading up and loading up as they go.
I'm sorry, but your description of that is perfect for driving me crazy, because we're spending all this time talking about cleaning this old nasty sand that's 18 years old that should have been taken out and removed 10 years ago or 8 or 5 or whatever, and we're still only just this small portion of it is what we're spending all this time dealing with. I really don't feel like it's a solution, and we're spending a bunch of time and money on something that's, A, if it works, won't work but a small percent, and then B, it might not work at all.
But I think the new system is going deeper, I hope. I hope we're getting further down.
Yes, my understanding is that we were able to penetrate 2.5 feet. I mean, we could have gone all the way to the bottom if we wanted to, but we're trying not to penetrate that lower level of sand.
Okay, so we're going deeper, but some of that's still settling back down. We're not sure how we're going to get the stuff to flow off. I mean, it's all still a maybe.
We're in the troubleshooting stage, and it is frustrating, and I do appreciate all different ideas. So if we can just kind of marshal forward, I think investigating the filter, scrubbing the sand, if we hear about it, we want daily, not daily updates, but certainly weekly updates. I think we can make some progress. And how cleaner was the sand? Can you give us a percentage?
I would say it was maybe 20% lighter.
Okay, lighter in color.
Lighter
and
color.
Did you flow test that after, Amber?
No, we didn't.
You didn't cover enough area. Would it help to have more personnel and run increased shifts that we hire a seasonal platoon of water people that work up there. We train them for SCBA work. I know last year the fire department volunteered, but there's no reason why you can't certify SCBA users from other folks and increase the number of cycles on filter cleaning.
So we are in the process right now of hiring a temporary laborer to assist with that process. That was expected to be there all summer long, just working on, you know, assisting with maintenance. And a big part of that is filter maintenance, both the sand filter and the roughing filter, until something changes there. Once we decide that we have a plan and move forward with implementing work, scouring, whatever, we do plan to hire people that we need to do that. I think that I think we all agree, as far as public works staff, water department staff, that if we can get through, if we can figure out how to do this cleaning and do the entire system, that we'll be much better suited to going into the season and continuing with our regular maintenance routine, which is what we're obligated to do at this point. It's the best they've come up with at this point.
Are there what are the, it's a liquid, it's surfactants, it's like a soap type liquid that would be safe for human consumption. Is there some liquid that you can insert and mix with the sand and the debris floats to the top? Surfactant, isn't that?
I think that's correct. Nick.
Isn't that a correct term? There's got to be something out there on the market.
No,
that would facilitate the organic matter floating to the top.
That you can still drink?
Yeah, that it wouldn't be harmful to...
Well, the only problem with that is, that I can see, is DEC. I think it would take you so long to get DEC approval to use something like that, it would be past our peak season.
Well, if it were an industry standard, that's the only thing you could, you know, get by with, but...
We can inject through the nozzles that can be injected because we inject foam. So,
but yeah,
I just want to say I realize you're frustrated. Trust me, we are extremely frustrated, and we've been working on this nonstop since last summer when all this happened. Everything takes time to get all the information, to look at all the different options. You're thrown another loop, and you have to go back to the drawing board to readjust. But what we're trying to do before we make a huge investment. And that's the key here, is trying to figure out what we can do affordably to keep our drinking water going, at least in the short term, while we figure out what is the best long-term, very expensive option.
Go ahead.
So maybe on that, Carol, you could address a little bit more the long-term plant, because my biggest concern is the clock is ticking for another season, and not having a, you know, if we don't have good results in all these minor things that we're, minor to relatively major things that we're trying, you know, we have, then we go in and have another bad season, and we're still yet, we've talked 3 to 5 years out, best case scenario on a new plant?
On a new plant. Likely, yes.
So that's still, there's no news update on the 3 to 5 year timeline.
We've been talking with rural development, but again, there's issues, and they're having to look at their financial, they're analyzing our financial capacity, and things change daily within our fund. What we might be doing with roughing filters and the scouring and the cost there. So we are in communication with them almost daily. And we don't have an answer from them as of yet.
Well, I'm very concerned about us waiting to find out more information and waiting too long to be able to implement something that could have a significant impact for this, not only this season, but it could have a positive impact for this season. That's something we could hang our hat on, and we know we could hang our hat on for the next 3 to 5 years. To me, that's a reasonable investment. I know it could be sizable. New sand is what I just can't,
if you're going to make the investment of the new sand, it's probably not going to happen before this season. Or, I mean, you can't do it in the middle of the season. So you're looking at a huge investment that has to last you longer than a couple of years for the return on your funds. I mean, it's when you look at the financial information on the fund, it's got to be one or the other. It's the sand or the new plant.
Go ahead.
So, as I've been working through this process in my mind, I've had a couple of other thoughts, and I'm sure this has been entertained by people a whole bunch smarter than me, but I know that our issue is the sand filters, and the issue is that we have too much stuff in our water that comes through and plugs our sand filters, and they won't flush appropriately. I'm wondering about, you know, if we keep talking about a new plant. We've replaced a lot of things in our current plant, including these ozone generators and so on. And is there not a process that we could affect that does not remove the overall plant itself, but we deal with the top end? That's really our issue. If that's why somebody designed it, is they thought it was going to handle that, and it didn't. But if we could deal with the top end, because we haven't even started talking about our reservoir issues yet. That this is, we're just talking about making water. When we talk about storage and our ability to store water, this may be a whole new issue this summer if we go into drought conditions. We may not have water to make. That's a whole other issue. So if we're bonding up for this new plant and then we find out, oh goodness, we're in a state of disaster because of the reservoir, that's a whole other issue. So my point is there not a way that we can effectively take what we currently have? It saddens me to hear that we're too late for sand for this season, because I was always working along in my mind thinking that we had time to do the sand, if not complete a partial replacement of one of the filters. But if that's passed, that's passed. But even to do a partial replacement of one filter, you know, do one filter. And if we can do it this season, great. If not, we have to wait. But do the one filter and increase our capacity. What do we have, four or two? Four filters. So we now have one filter working at, you know, 100%. That's going to help us immediately. The roughing filters. And we're not talking millions of dollars anymore. We're talking substantially less. Overall, if we replace all four filters over time, we will have an increased cost because we have to bring back these hazmat teams every time we do it, right? We've got to bring back the crew to replace it. But
And remove it.
But at least we get a 25% increase. We know that is 100% effective to replace the sand. There's no guessing, there's no engineering. It's 100% effective. And then we also deal with the water coming in, and maybe instead of looking at a new plant, which if we can get it, great. But my question is, can we afford it? And how long, and what industry is going to be impacted while we wait? And I still worry about the quality of our water. I want to ensure the public is, you know, getting good quality water that's clean. So I don't know if you can answer that. Are we past the window for new sand of any type to impact this season?
I think that we could make a bay happen.
Make one bay happen. Okay, that's good news. I mean, that's good information for us to have.
Just to address a couple of your concerns there, Steve, the ozone generators just bought, it was proposed as a new plant that those would be used in that plant.
Okay, good.
Which would substantially lessen the clogging.
Certainly, that's great.
could we get maybe some more financial information now? So, like some of the stuff that Lee put together in the packet. And I guess maybe I'm not sure of what even the new plant cost would be to the residents. Like, what are we proposing that USDA pay and we pay? And
that's what we're waiting to hear from USDA when they do our financial capacity assessment. We don't know how much of a loan versus a grant they will give us. And that, so depending on the amount of loan they give us, you know, your debt service could potentially be $160,000 a year. I mean, we don't know that information yet. And if you have a debt service, I mean, if it's a, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a $4 million loan out of an $8.5 million project. If it's $4 million loan at $160,000 annual debt service, you're going to raise your rates, what, 20%, 22%? To fund the debt service alone.
That's why I'm asking about what can we work with and how can we manipulate the situation so that we're not looking at it. And I think it's great news that these ozone filters were required for the new plant anyways. We've got a leg up. We've already replaced the chunk, so that's a positive thing. If we do the roughing filters, there's another chunk done.
So I'm going to back up here a little bit. I did a little research too, like Mark did. There were other wells in town. John Ellis had some wells. One was 300 foot, one was 400 foot. And as we talked to your plant manager up there, and these filters that we do have, in a system we do have, was designed for well water. Okay, and I think last year somebody, if I remember right, said let's drill a well, and they would come in and introduce the, try to find up there if there was water. I know John's wells, one 300 foot user was not drinkable. They used it for washing and all that stuff. And the 400 foot was acidic, I guess, had something wrong with it. They couldn't drink it either. But I know the well that Mark's talking about also. I'm just wondering why, if we're spending all this money, why we haven't introduced trying to drill one well up there and look at it. Because if they're, if we can get well water and it's cleaner and we can draw off of it, I'm kind of confused why we haven't looked at that. And I know what Steve is also saying, you get too many fires in the oven here, we're gonna have 55 people going every different ways and looking at everything, and right now we're just trying to fix the problem we have. I understand that, but I would really like to pertain what Mark said, looking at some way to supplement our water, and if not now, in the future, where we're going to be short, like our reservoirs, you know, because like Steve said, if we get a new plant and all of a sudden we're going, well, we can't, we got a new plant, we can make all this water, but we don't have the water. So we got to look at it both ways. We got to look at if we're going to get a new plant or we're doing the filters, we still got to look at where we can get the water from. And if it's like Mark said, if he's off double $200,000 to drill a well, if it works, you know, everything right now is up in the air. Nobody even knows what's going to work and what's not going
to
work.
So we're trying to actually.
Go ahead.
So that's why we have been working with more or less, I don't want to say knowns because they're not, but it's what we have. What can we improve with what we have existing before we go off and do completely new things that we don't have a clue about, like drilling the well? Is there even, anyway, so we're trying to work with what we have to fix it as best we can until we can sort out, is it a new plant or is it better to just go back with sand and maintain it annually, or look at it, you know, look at these other options, new water source. I mean, you know.
I really don't want to get us going down a road where we just got blinders, we're just looking at a bad system and how to make it work. The system wasn't put in here, wasn't the correct one, should have been here to start with. So now we're spending all of this time and all of this money trying to hobble a bad system through. We need to take the blinders off and quit looking down a narrow corridor and figure out a way that we can make this water system work and work for everybody and be feasible. So I don't think you can just disregard the options. I think we need to look at those options and to analyze what's already been done. We're not going out and punching a $200,000 well. Let's just go pump the well that's there. Let's get some numbers. This is the simplest, inexpensive thing we can do.
I can agree with you to a certain extent.